You may be seated. Thank you for the blessing. Awesome singing. Let's bow together for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus loves each and every one of us, and that that love will never change. We thank you, Lord, for your word to us. We thank you that your word is infallible. We thank you, Lord, that the written word, the Bible, is perfect, and so is the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, who offered the perfect sacrifice on Calvary's cross for us. So, Lord, in the next few moments, I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to and encourage our hearts. It will lift us up and strengthen us in love. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I'm going to have a little bit of booze if you don't mind. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and possessed the land. Friends, I believe that these words have a powerful message, and I want to share that message with you today. Now, as you listen, please ask God to speak to your mind and heart. I think that if you really listen to what God is saying and believe it, I feel you will not leave this sanctuary the same person you were when you came in. The Holy Spirit can do that for us. Let's look briefly at the background to the verses that we read from Exodus 23. Israel had been given the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai by God, that's in Exodus chapter 20, followed by various and sundry laws and ordinances, civil laws, criminal laws, laws on capital offenses, non-capital crimes, property rights, and so forth. These are all included. Verse 20 of chapter 23 begins the final section of these laws of the covenant. Only this section consists not of laws, but of promises and warnings and reminders. It's almost like a farewell speech, spoken apparently as Israel set out from Mount Sinai for the promised land of Canaan. Now that's important to our thoughts this morning. Israel was setting out for the promised land, promised by God. Let's consider what God says to them and to us about that. God says in verses 20 and 21 that Israel must obey the angel. Behold, I send an angel before you to guide you on the way and to bring you to the place that I have prepared. Pay careful attention to him and obey his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not pardon your transgression. For my name is in him. Friends, it's true in the life of every person who belongs to God that obedience is the bottom line. God chooses to reward his own according to their works. Now, listen carefully. I said that God chooses to reward his own according to their works. That's in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, and other passages. I did not say that God chooses to save his own according to their works. We are never saved by our works. We are saved only by the blood of Jesus Christ. I have a tie on this morning. I don't know if you noticed it or not. I've got a fancy little deal here. Some of you may have seen this before. But if I turn it sideways like this, can you read it from there? No. It says, Jesus saves. If I look in the mirror, it's backwards on here now, but I look in the mirror, it comes out, Jesus saves. We are saved by Jesus Christ, never by our good works. But the point I want to make out here is that God chooses to reward his own, according to their works. See, he constantly sets before us in his word the rewards and blessings of obedience. And more about that in a few moments. But for Israel in our context here, their safety lay in obedience to God's will. See, God often punished their disobedience by using their enemies against them. But if they obeyed, their enemies would be defeated. Dear friends, the testimonies of the ages show that to be literally true. Israel did disobey. They paid the consequences in their death and ultimately in their captivity. Today, nation after nation, celebrity after celebrity, attest to the results of disobedience to God. It seems to me that it is possible that at least some of our health epidemics are examples of this. I dare speculate that much of the trouble that now exists in many relationships, all the way from the home to the highest echelons of government, has its roots in the demise of the principle of obedience. Certainly, it is reflected in the moral climate of the world as we find disregard for the time-tested commandments which God wants us to obey if we are to enjoy life in this world. The Christian who bears the hallmark of obedience has found that if he does not obey our Lord's commands in small things, he is without resources, and the resources that he needs when big issues have to be faced. Little things mean a lot. For example, after a battle, an army captain was discussing the events of the day with his officers. He asked them which soldier, in their opinion, had been the most outstanding. Well, some of them mentioned a man who had died bravely. Others suggested the first one fighting man and then another fighting man. "No," said the captain, "you're all mistaken. The best man in the field today was a soldier who had lifted his arm to strike an enemy, but dropped his arm without striking the blow the moment he heard the trumpeter sound retreat." That response to the general's command was the noblest thing done today. See, friends, if we wish to serve in the elite army of Christ the King, which we just sang, we must be willing to submit to his discipline and be obedient to his commands. Then we have God's promised blessing. And with Israel, we can conquer. And that is the second thing that God says here, I believe. Blessings go with obedience. Blessings go with obedience. Don't you have times when you really feel blessed by God and close to him, a mountaintop experience, so to speak? When those times happen, check your obedience. See, a Christian follows Christ. Loving, trusting, and obeying Christ is all for a great purpose. It's to enable us to experience God's lifestyle and his very spirit in our own lives. See, when God demands obedience, he is not being a hard taskmaster. He asks for obedience out of love. Remember Jesus' words to his disciples in John 13? that upper room experience before he went to the cross, he said to them, "A new commandment I give you. I give to you that you love one another just as I loved you. And you are also to love one another." See, to love one another and to love God is not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Obedience to love one another and to love God. Jesus says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Friends, obedience is necessary if God is to be true to himself. And it is necessary if this world is to be a cosmos and not a chaos. Wouldn't you just love to have the kind of a life that Jesus lived? See, the more obedient we are, the more like him we become. Now, it's not an easy way of life by any means. God knows that we don't like the disciplined life. If you're like me, you agree. We agree with the words of one of my favorite cowboy songs of a long time ago. It was called "Don't Fence Me In." Anybody remember that one? I won't sing it for you. It can be land, lots of land, and so forth. I won't sing it for you or to you. That could be a problem. But it was one of my favorite songs. So "Don't Fence Me In." But when we break the tether which binds us to God's way, the way which calls for obedience to his commandments, invariably we end up in the wilderness of bewilderment or the desert of despair. Last week, we sang a closing hymn. Anybody remember what a closing hymn was last week? "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear," and so forth. Jesus is our friend. But notice what Jesus says in John 15, verse 14. He says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." Jesus commands obedience. See, it's by following Jesus, doing the best we can to love as he loved, trusting and being trustworthy like him, and obeying the still small voice of God within us as he did, that we experience life worthy of living here and eligible to continue throughout eternity. We follow him through the small gate and the narrow road, and as he promised, we find life. Life that really counts. Life that really has meaning. And that brings us to the message of verse 30 and our message title as I read verse 30. "Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and possessed the land." See, Israel again was setting out for the promised land. God says that based on their obedience, he will drive out their enemies before them. He will protect them. He will protect them and see that they got there. But how is he going to do that? Little by little. Not all at once. They will get there by a piecemeal process. Why didn't God let them get to the promised land immediately? They wouldn't be ready. Look at verse 29. "I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the wild beasts multiply against you." You see, they would not be ready. They wouldn't be able to prosper in that new land at this point. But once they learned obedience as they went along, they would know life in its fullest, the real meaning of life with God. Friends, learning obedience comes little by little. It's all a matter of day by day faith. A man by the name of John Erskine, that's Erskine, he was a famous author and lecturer of the early 1900s. He said that he learned the most valuable lesson of his life when he was 14 years old. Any 14-year-old people in the, thereabouts that age? Listen. He learned the most valuable lesson of his life when he was 14 years old. His piano teacher asked him how much he practiced each day. He replied that he usually sat down for an hour or more. "Oh, don't do that," warned the instructor. "When you grow up, time won't come to you in long stretches like that. Do your practicing in minutes, wherever you can find them, 5 or 10 before school, a few after lunch, or in between chores. Spread it throughout the day, and music will become a part of your life." Erickson said that he later applied to his principle of writing. He wrote nearly all of his most famous work, which is called The Private Life of Helen of Troy, on streetcars while commuting between his home and the university where he lectured. Friends, you don't hear much about this in our news media today, but I'd like to remind you that you and I, as Christians, we are on our way to the promised land. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 18, the Apostle Paul says this, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Will bring me safely. We aren't there yet. We are in a real sense on an exodus from this earth to heaven. Another verse that means a lot to me in the New Testament, the words of the Apostle Paul, kind of a verse that I've adopted in my life. It's applicable here. Listen. The Apostle Paul says, "I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Let me repeat that. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Friends, we won't get there until we're ready for it. In the meantime, we have growth to do. And that growth will come little by little. We must practice obedience wherever and whenever we can. Practice it at all opportunities. Spread it throughout the day and let it become a part of our lives. Oh, yes. One more thing about this passage in Exodus 23. Who is the angel of this passage? From all indications, because of his functions as intercessor and forgiver, and because he has God's name, as verse 21 tells us, I think that angel, in quotes, can be identified with Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. He is the one who stands by our side and gives us strength as we need it. He is the one who will rescue us from every evil attack and bring us safely to his heavenly kingdom. I want to close with this illustration, with this story, true story. Let it penetrate your heart and your mind with the whole, this whole theme of little by little, in God leading us and protecting us. Listen carefully. One evening, a woman was driving home when she noticed a huge truck behind her that was driving uncomfortably close. Well, she stepped on the gas to gain some distance from the truck. But when she sped up, the truck did too. The faster she drove, the faster the truck did. Now scared, she exited the freeway. But the truck stayed with her. The woman then turned up a main street, hoping to lose her pursuer in traffic. But the truck ran a red light and continued the chase. Reaching a point of panic, the woman whipped her car into a service station and bolted out of her auto, screaming for help. The truck driver sprang from his truck and ran toward her car. Yanking the back door open, the driver pulled out a man hidden in the back seat. The woman was running from the wrong person. From his high vantage point, the truck driver had spotted a would-be rapist in the woman's car. See, the chase was not his effort to harm her, but to save her, even at the cost of his own safety. Likewise, friends, many people run from God, fearing what he might do to them. But his plans are for good, not evil, to rescue us from the hidden sins that endanger our lives. Beloved, God's laws are not to harm us, but to protect us and guide us. He still says to us, friends, I will rescue you from every evil attack and will bring you safely to my heavenly kingdom. Obedience is the bottom line to life as God intends it for us. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, once again, we thank you for your word to us. I pray that the congregation this morning will not have just heard another sermon from a guest pastor, but that the Holy Spirit will use these weak words to be a blessing to your people, will penetrate the hearts of everyone here whom you love, which is everybody. Lord, for a moment we would pray for those who are sick and afflicted this morning. I would ask the congregation to pray silently as the Holy Spirit brings to mind any of those who have specific needs. Let's pray silently for just a moment. You are a God who cares, Heavenly Father. You are a God who loves us unconditionally. And so we pray, Lord, that your healing mercies will be known among all of your people. And thank you, Lord, for caring. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.